Testing. Clark Gandel?
Present.
Mike Needham?
Here.
Valerie Fegan is absent. Floyd Hershberger?
Here.
Mary Lee Hershberger?
Here.
Ken Quidel?
Here.
Doug Loudon?
Here.
And Tony Yoder and Martha Zinn are both excused. But we have a quorum, sir.
Thank you. Are we advertised properly?
You are. A public meeting notice was posted with the city clerk's office on March 22nd, 2019.
Thank you very much. That's great. Well, Lieutenant, if you'd like to give us a rundown on any kind of activities in our CRA, and I described, we met in the elevator, and I described, I told her why she was here. I just got this message a few minutes ago, so we want to make you feel welcome. And just we're interested in what happens in our neighborhood.
Absolutely. What I can say, I personally assign day shift, so I work through daytime issues that go on. Which means usually we pick up the slack on whenever alerts happen overnight or something, if it hasn't been caught overnight. I know we've had a couple. They've been minor in nature, to be honest. I think most of what happens within your zone comes from our transient activity in there. You know, the Salvation Army and all that brings in a lot into the area. So the biggest issue we had, which I believe was end of February, beginning of March, we had the shooting at the barbershop on Octagon, that is currently in the hands of the state attorneys as to whether or not that would be ruled a stand your ground issue as far as that goes. So the detectives are done with that one. It was specific. It was not a robbery. It was not a transient person. It was actually someone known to the business owner. So it wasn't anything like that should be a threat to any, you know, that would have been a threat to any other businesses, although he did pass away. So we're waiting on a ruling for that. The other things we deal with, for the most part, at least on the daytime, I'm sure you've seen it as business owners, is the those that are on the illegal narcotics around the area, and they tend to pass out in certain areas around businesses, or they seek shelter, or I think the last arrest I participated in the early morning hours was a building where it was getting ready to be occupied, but was empty at the time in the area, and they had just, they were transients living, sleeping, defecating around the area, which is not pleasant at all. I know we had that problem around some of the lawyers' offices, too, so it's, but basically, it hasn't been anything of violent crime nature that we've got in the area other than that shooting, and it's been lower in the last month than we had previously.
We are experiencing an abnormally large amount of speeding automobiles. I noticed that you had your speed minder up, I guess it was around 14th Street.
Yeah, we had 14th Street and Magnolia, right there is where we placed it the last time. We encouraged the officers to go up there and work with the radar units as well as that.
I did.
That LPR automatically runs tags for us as well when they go through there. So if there's any driver's license, when you see that speed sign right there, it's also going to give us an alert on our computers as certain cars go through that area that might have expired tags, warrants, driver's licenses that are suspended. So we get a lot of alerts from that, not just what speed they're going. So watch out about your expired tags and whatnot.
That is good.
Yeah. Most people don't know that it's doing that. We don't really advertise that it does. But that's why it's moved every week to a different area. It was moved there based on business owner complaint of speeding in that area, and like I said, we encouraged our traffic units and our patrol units. Mine particularly have a lot of time during these hours right now to go up and work that area, so we send them up that way. And all, but I will emphasize that we're still having a problem with the speeding in
that area.
That's bad everywhere. Yeah.
That's
good to me. I constantly hit my back flashes.
Yeah.
Get off of me.
22nd
Street.
They just
way
out
there.
Can't see
anything.
Brilliant, right?
Yeah.
Was that?
Somebody tell me, you and yours.
Mine happens to be a gray Taurus. and with tinted windows, and it actually has kind of, I don't know if you know what a show is for an SHO, but it's a really fast car that this department would not typically buy. And so most people don't realize that it's me in there because they don't bother to look, that you can see my computer screen. Right, and everything. So yeah, they don't realize, so they're right up on me.
We really appreciate your efforts, because it seems like when we get these reports, they get better and better. In other words, in the beginning, you know, when we started doing this, there was a lot of crime. I mean, it would be very lengthy reports about people breaking and entering and drug activity and so forth. And y'all really are doing a great job in our area.
We have a very specific directive when it comes to that corridor, Magnolia Corridor in the downtown area, in regards to keeping an eye on those transient type activities that are causing problems, especially when you're trying to do business with their panhandling and that sort of thing. So we try to keep an eye on that. You know, our most recent activity that we've had is a problem with coming into the businesses. And it's not your businesses typically, it's like the Salvation Army provision for all with cameras. I don't know if y'all seen the YouTube videos. And they're looking for a confrontation on not adhering to public records laws. And so then they go outside and they stand on the sidewalks when they can't be in the businesses and cause a bit of a ruckus. They try to catch our officers not knowing what they're permitted to have and not have and things like that. But I don't think that really pertains to your private business industry. It's more of your public records.
Yeah.
You know, public organizations, so.
I did not realize until the road construction started in front of the Marion Theater. Mm-hmm. And on my trips home and to bank and post office, I had to take detours. So I turned to the right and I went over and I went down in front of the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. And it is really, there are times when those people that are waiting for the dining hall to open, they almost tempt you. They stand in the street, make you weave around them.
It is, it's a whole area near that Salvation Army, the sidewalks that come out, especially you get within a couple hours of a mealtime. And they're all in that area. And we do go down there and try to get them to, you know, if they're blocking any foot traffic going through the area or vehicles and that sort of thing, and get them out of the area. I do know there was, from what I understand, there was some negotiation going on with the city trying to buy out the Salvation Army at the location they're at and set them up. There was a grant, a building grant type of thing to move your business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they ever came to an agreement on it. There was a significant difference in what they wanted and what the city was offering.
Sure.
And to move it in order to get it to an area maybe that was less commerce-oriented.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I don't know where that stands at this point. My last knowledge of it was there was a $3 million discrepancy between what they wanted and what we were offering. So I don't know if they are still in negotiations about it. It would help greatly for the North Magnolia Corridor to, you know, as far because it keeps building up. You know, there's a lot of law offices that have moved into some of those facilities and buildings, and they don't want them doing that. I'm sure when you're doing business, you don't like seeing your customers, you know, panhandle on the way in and out. This discourages them from coming.
A lot of experience with the Salvation Army and their and their issues and our issues, and you know, it's a tough.
It is tough because they're there to do a good, you know,
right,
good deed and help people. It's just unfortunate that it's grown so large. I don't think I've ever seen our transient population as large as it is now.
Right.
And apparently, according to talking to some of them, it's well known amongst those that are homeless that Ocala will give you free stuff. And you will get taken care of. I went to St. Augustine recently, and their own park is cleared out, basically. It's not what it once was. Usually I went over there and was like, wow, you can't walk around down here without.
Right.
There was nothing there. So I went for spring break, and there was nothing.
Wow.
So that's what some of them tell us, that's the word of mouth, is Ocala will take care of you if you're homeless, so come here. I know that there was a, supposedly the other day, just, you know, some sort of a workshop for homelessness in Ocala at City Hall, I believe they had.
It was today.
Oh, it was today, okay. It was. They mentioned it at the United Way Board meeting that it was going on. So I'm sure they're going to be addressing that. Mr. Young is working on that. You know, they work with the, I guess Father Pat and I took over the motors and down there, because I saw Mr. Hosegrave over there working on some things that used to run the road. So, that's gotten him out of, that's gotten a certain amount, but there's still a transition of some of it. Because there are people that didn't pay to live there and things like that, so.
Well, we don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Yeah.
It's just really, there's a serious issue there.
Yeah.
And it is, it's worse now than it's ever been.
Well, right now, we have a significant, you know, opioid issue going on, and tends to hit those folks there. And, so we've got the opioid amnesty program and trying to help with that too, and give them help. We work with Mr. O'Day and try and do that, so.
Well, we thank you for your time, appreciate it very much.
Absolutely, if there's anything you need, let us know.
I hope so.
Okay.
What's your number, 911?
That would be it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, consideration of your minutes. The chair will entertain a motion for approval, and I suppose we really ought to do an individual.
Our motion for January 24th, approved and read.
Second for January. All in favor?
Aye.
And for the 28th of February?
I'll move to accept those.
And the motion to accept is stated.
I can second that.
Have a second in place. All in favor?
Aye.
Code enforcement cases, none?
We'll do code enforcement and property acquisition. Both were supposed to be here, but there's something came up.
Dale's in a training class, so it's kind of cool.
So most of our focus on acquisition code enforcement has been in Imagine North Mag area. We have this map. Most recent activity as far as acquisition has been here. So when you look at this map, you see these three vacant parcels there, so they don't have any code enforcement action or anything, but those may be three key parcels for us to look at to see if they're available, because as it is, we have, you know, pretty good combination, or a lot, you know, just a lot of property here to start, you know, designing. So I'll get with Joe and see what he knows about these properties. These red properties here are code enforcement cases. I don't know exactly which.
I looked into it. That one is just overgrowth and unsecured. Something?
This one's overgrowth. This one's overgrowth too?
Overgrowth and an unsecured item on their property.
That's the barbershop property.
Yeah.
So,
what about the signage on the barbershop?
That's probably what it is.
It is, because I emailed it for the last meeting, code enforcement, about the signage and everything, and Dale responded, you've already got cases on all those issues. The signage on the building itself, he said there was a light, a sign on the front of the building added, and he said cases as in plural, so.
Okay.
You're mad.
You're just in time. My back's a little
wet. Look at that.
Take a root of talent when somebody gets it.
But it appears as though that they're not using the building.
Really?
Yeah, they're there.
You pay.
Oh,
they're
there.
They're still active.
They're
still active.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. Well, are they fitting here or are they training?
I don't know.
People going in and out.
And I think that in my email that they were advertising a school, is that a different use? Or can they have that? And he said, again, plural. We have code cases on all those issues, so I listed that issue too, so. And Dale's not here, so.
So, there's also some tax deeds out here. Some of them are over 2 years old, which makes them available, something we could look into. So, Joe, we were, you know, we noticed we had all the property around here, and then these three lots here, if we would get those, that would give us a good collection.
I happen to agree. We're looking at those now. We've got some, there's code on, we got, I'm gonna see how big the code cases are, where we're at. Tax-wise, believe it or not, some of them, their taxes are either current, or they're not far enough out. You know, and it's an odd process to go into the, I've done it, and just did it recently. When you, if, you gotta buy the old tax certificates if you're gonna do it. If somebody's gotten over 2 years old, and then pushing for sale, which means it's not a lot of money, you gotta pay up all the old taxes. To buy the one certificate, you pay everything up. And then push the sale, and it takes a little bit of time. Then you end up with a tax deed, and then you know, someone's, you know, what someone's gonna bid against you, you know, if they are or they're not, probably not. It happens, and then you gotta go through a quiet title soon, so. And as obviously we're gonna do it, the timing is that you might as well do it, so we're gonna take a look at that. Actually, I'd rather foreclose code liens, because then you get, you're actually quiet the title when you do that. We can see if we're big enough to do it. That's what, and Ian and I talked about that yesterday, on that, go forward. But it'd be good, I'm looking at that block, it'd be great to finish that block.
Yeah.
The one on the bottom, I know a little bit about some of them, the one on the bottom, at the bottom of that line, just above that, the next purple, you know, we own the blue, that purple one there, that belongs to the daughter of the lady that we bought the other, the one below it. The mother was Miss Livingston, I don't know if anybody remembers her, she lived there forever.
Yeah.
And Dorothy Luscombe was her daughter, she was a town here, and so she rented it for a while, and then we bought it, you know, we bought it from her. So, but she's not on well good terms with her daughter right now, and she tried to have her get in touch with me, and she never did. And we've got code on it, so I think we're going to go ahead with foreclosure now. So I'll start the chain, start connecting the dots.
Okay. How about this one here?
Oh boy, that one there, that is a mess. The lady that has thought she has title to it has title to it through a cut contract for deed. See, you don't think I know this stuff, do
you? I know you know it.
I contacted her about a year ago because she's paying the taxes on it. She's out. She's in Las Vegas, and I looked and I started looking at how she owns it, and she's trying to walk away from it because she bought it from these guys on a contract for deed, so she don't care anymore, you know. And right now, I'll check the tax situation on it. And that's vacant. And whenever, but it's, you know, they actually, she couldn't sell it anyway if she wanted to, because she really, there's a contract with deed and she's in default. Because she stopped paying them.
So who actually has one?
The guy she bought. So, you know, and I don't know who they are. Like, I know who they are, but I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And so that's that piece. And this piece, and yet the other corner down there, the block below that, the yellow one.
Mm-hmm.
That's my good friend, Joe Brown. And,
so that's the place where the tree fell on the house? That the one or no?
It's next to the one. The one, the orange is where the tree fell on the house. That's that whole thing belongs to the barber.
Oh, okay. So we're going to continue to, you know, acquire property.
Can I just say something? I just said the property's reversed. A lady in Vegas owns the yellow one, and the other one belongs to Joe Brown.
When you say liens, 50% of the value of the property, is that the hard cost of the liens, or is that included?
That's everything.
That's everything.
We got liens on them.
And that says 50% of the value, is that?
That has more to do with, I think, what they can reconstruct or not. I don't know, is that
No, that's just the total amount of the All the code liens.
That's
up to, up to now.
I wouldn't say so.
The one in the lower right-hand corner.
It's more than 50% of it.
More than 50%.
Yeah.
I think there was something like $70,000 in hard cost and...
Most of, generally, those liens, when they have that high on these properties, it has to be included in the ongoing.
I got a question, and maybe it might be better to answer next month when Dale's here, but I read in the paper today that the racetrack gas station, you know, one of their requirements was to tone down the red around their building, you know, because I know colors are important. And it really doesn't matter to me. It's not one way or the other, but the donut shop, you know, that was painted pink. Is that something that we're going to pursue or just let it ride?
Well, we don't really have anything.
I mean, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I think they should put sprinkles on it myself. But I was just curious. Because I know we cautioned them when they were painting about the facade grant. And
no, I wasn't met with them.
I knew you did because I called you that day. But I just was curious if it was something worth pursuing or just letting. You know, the fact that there's one pink building and there's a donut shop doesn't matter, but if it gets out of hand, you know.
But I would add a comment. I was told this by a relative of the lady that operates that shop. She is a cancer survivor, and that's the purpose of the color of that building.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that sure makes sense.
So, that's what I was told.
Right.
I think sprinklers would help, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It would make the people that are in my cemetery happy.
Then it becomes a sign.
Or a bad paint job. Okay, well, like I say, we're going to continue to pursue properties in here as we're going through our planning process, and the planning process will, you know, help us maybe target some properties that would be important, like these here that are completely surrounded. So, anything else on code enforcement or property acquisition?
I just noticed. You want a little update on what's going on with Henry?
Yeah.
Okay, on that. Sure. And Chris, we're in contract with Henry. He is, we all know, is subject to the piece that he's obtaining on his office building. He's rezoning it. His application for rezoning is in for B2. We have no problem. Basically, the problem with that effect makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And it's on the April agenda for PC. So we get that, you know, it goes to council, you know, right after the P and Z. And after that, we should be ready to close on the whole package. We have ordered a phase one environmental on the Sundance Cemetery. And just what I have here, I need some recollection. I haven't had my other archival person yet, but I have another one sitting here. You were on the corner there. Well, can you remember, was there a 13, you know, the piece to the south? There was two parcels within that green on there. Was there ever a gas station on that thing?
Are you talking about on the corner where Ocala Lumber Company was?
Yeah, well, no, across on the same, next to the cemetery, that's divided, that has to be two separate parcels, but it's one, we just see there's one on there.
The green, gentlemen?
That's right. The green, there's two lots there.
Yeah, there's two parcels.
They were on the northern part.
They were the second lot, yeah.
Yeah, on that corner lot.
Yeah.
I don't know where the sand, there's sandworm that shows something there, we don't know what it is. It's not a big deal, that thing's been sitting there for a long time, probably gets cleaned up.
I never remember.
You don't remember?
No, and the piece that I own was Ocala Lumber Company at one time, apparently.
That was too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It must have had all three pieces.
I think it's just
a
building sitting there.
But I don't, I mean, I don't, you know.
Yeah, the only dispensary.
We can't have sign.
That I can recall in that block, in that area, it was on the west side, and it's pretty obvious which one it was, because it's vacant now, but it looks like a anti-service station, two ladies.
Yeah, that and what's his name up there, the detail shop, both gas stations.
Well, details, that was what's, you know, like.
So I would assume there was ever a gas station.
I don't think there was.
That'd be three gas stations, pretty close to each other.
Questionnaire, so I thought, for knowledge.
Does the staff have any recommendations on why we're making the purchase of lumber company property here where the retail yard was?
Commercial development.
It's in the flood.
Yeah, I've said all that, a lot of that's in that one partial flood zone.
I'm just, was curious why we're making the purchase of.
I got.
Because it's really low.
Well, we're going to do a study on that flood designation to see if we get it removed or how to mitigate it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, I never.
Because it's not flooded, and ever since you've done the work, it's not flooded.
Yeah, so.
I heard of a car that got stalled on 10th Street next to the railroad track, and it kind of was disappointing because I hadn't heard of any problems in the area. But I went by there, and of course, the water was gone at the time. But it appeared to me on the east side of the railroad track, on the, you know, westbound lane, that there's a storm drain.
I remember that.
And it's just my opinion that maybe the pipe between that and the retention area next to me is just too small. It just didn't take the water. I mean, it obviously took all the water, but it didn't take it quick enough, you know. So that's a simple fix, you know, if there's a problem. You know, where you come down 10th and kind of go up and over the railroad track, you know, so you're that one little spot right there, you could tell was. But other than that, I've not heard of any flooding, any backed up water, any standing water in that whole area since the road work's been done.
Well, there's a good possibility that it really needs to be updated.
Yeah.
Because the area, that retention area close to you, I think they consider that a detention area.
Yeah.
And that water is carried back over.
It is.
In the vicinity on the west side of the Taylor Bean, and there is a lot of land.
Oh, yeah, and they laid a couple pipes in there you could drive a truck through, because I watched them.
Yeah, they got huge pipes going in.
They were so big, they were oval. So instead of round, because, you know, the elevation.
That was the land, right?
Yeah.
I combined it with the driver's training fund. We took over their fund and incorporated it right in.
Well, I can tell you this, and I pay very close attention, but we've had as much as 6 inches of rain in a short period of time, and never has the water got over the flow line of that pipe in that retention area next to me. As soon as it gets to that point, it starts flowing. And I've also noticed when it rains really, really hard, that if it doesn't get to the flow line, the flow line is dry. In other words, the water's not.
Not moving.
There's enough elevation on the pipe that the water's not backing up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are two things that I've paid very close attention over the last 4 years I've owned that property. And I just don't see the flood designation, you know, if it can be changed.
That's something that our engineering department is working on a lot of it around that. It does affect a lot of properties that we've done a lot of. Well, we all have. City's been very proactive in stormwater over the last, 20 years since they put that fee in.
Right.
And we've built a lot of retention areas, and I know it in the time of the period that I was very active, I bought a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them stayed supported too, stuff on 17th Street. There's a flood, everybody can remember that, try to get over the tracks in a rainstorm on 17th Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Before they built the overpass.
Yeah. That was that whole area back there.
Okay, are we ready to move on?
I think so.
Okay. Next item, we have four grants that we have submitted. This one here, there's two properties along 9th Street. When we started doing the 9th Street project, we wanted to address the north side of 9th Street as well. We didn't have any public improvements planned, but we wanted, that area to look nice also. Fortunately, there's one owner of two of the very large properties between Osceola and the CSX track. So we reached out to him, Eddie Lewis, and Mike and Ian and I have been out to that property a couple times, explaining the grant program, what it can do, and he was very receptive to the idea, and is going to proceed with some improvements. Ian will go through what they are.
So it's just some, basic improvements. He wants to paint the building. He's going to repair a window, and he's going to replace this landscaping and a lot of this with this grass, Argentine bahia, and Schilling's hollies.
Bahia.
Bahia. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know my grass. That well.
Not the Romeo, I'll teach you.
Excuse me?
Yeah, not the Romeo.
I didn't see Bahia doesn't have tall sprout.
That's
suitable for how he's going to use it.
Okay, so we don't have colors yet. You may want to get him to come in. I was kind of hoping that he would come in, but... all right, same deal with this one. He wants to remove the paint and repaint the building. This one, he wants to remove, I believe it's this palm tree. He wants to remove this, kind of small, but this brick planter here and replace with grass. And all that comes to a cost of $12,775.
The only thing about that, I agree with all of that, and removing that landscaping and planting grass is good. I think he did mention there was some bushes of some sort, but that's pretty rough when you come up to that stop sign at night, looking left. So I'm sure we can have some control over. And he probably don't have an issue, with being sure we got to, can see better. Because even if the building is so close, you got to pull your car up there pretty tight at night just to look around the building, much less the trees and the landscape.
Yeah, Schilling's hollies does not get real big.
That's right. Stuff.
It's a little growth.
Yeah, maybe without planting it on the corner, but moving it further down or something.
Mm.
I just know that that's something that he probably would not like the liability there either.
Just as a sign about Schilling's Holly, I know your buttons came out that Schilling's Holly is a companion plant for the weeping yopon. The weeping yopon won't bloom unless there's a Schilling's Holly somewhere nearby.
Oh, really?
That's the odd, this would all like
to do that. Sweet.
If you notice, Joe and I have the same haircut.
That was impressive.
That was.
You know that?
Oh.
Spent a lot of time with you.
And Joe, you expect us all to believe that, right?
I happen to be fortunate enough to have my wife going through the master gardener program.
There you go.
No, I haven't known that before.
I think that's great, and I'm anxious to
Do we need to vote on that?
We need to vote. We vote on all the others.
You can either do them individually or...
Well, I'll make a motion.
Let's do them as a group, if that's...
Make a motion to accept these grants.
Four grant applications.
Excellent.
And a second, all in favor?
Aye.
And it carries. Now, let's talk about the improvements of the project. Where are we?
So, wait a minute, we've got more grants. We've got two more grant applications.
Are they at another location?
Yes, we have four different locations.
Let me ask about the street.
Okay.
Where are we with this project?
Joe got the final defense sign, 1-6. We got the final 100% engineering drawings on March 19th. Next week, we're having a pre-procurement meeting between planning and engineering and OEU. So engineering will take over the project. They'll be the project construction managers. Their CIP staff, and then OEU is, we're purchasing the materials from them, and they'll be installing the lights and transformers, junction boxes. And then the contractor who gets the work will put in all the underground conduit.
Are we looking at 90 days to contract, or?
It'll go out to bid next month. That usually takes... So hopefully construction will be done later in the summer.
Good.
Yep.
Now, before we move on, if I remember correctly, that we've already requested, what's the name of the firm that you all use?
Kimley Horn.
We have a project with them for enhancing the right-of-way along Magnolia.
Right. They'll bring final drawings to you at your May meeting in 2 months, and then that can go out for bid.
Sounds good.
I don't know. We could possibly do it in-house, or we might have to go out to bid. I don't know what would be the best, but we'll decide that after we're over with the plans.
We're within 6 months of...
So both of those...
Some good things happen.
Yeah, well, should be done. I don't know exactly how long 9th Street will take. It might take up to 5 or 6 months. I don't know.
Okay.
Now, I will mention too that Doug Mullins has done some work cleaning up the cars and so forth on his property. Gotten some of those older vehicles out of there. So I copied the manual on that the other day.
Okay.
Just as a minor aside, we talked about doing this one. Everybody starts to think I'm old and superfluous. They discover I have another knee. You need to use, because in order to deal with Irving, if you don't speak Yiddish, you're out.
So. No, I have a few lessons in Yiddish that you can come visit with.
Yeah, you
do. Thing is, I just never could make anything stick.
Oh. But he's saying, we converse a little bit.
We could too, but in English.
Okay, this grant is the driver school on 14th Street and 2nd, between SciCal and Noble. So it's pretty far back from 14th, so probably a lot of people don't know it's there. Anyways, theirs is simply a facade improvement, painting the building and sealing it. So the colors are included in your packet. The siding will be close to what it is now. It's called blue something.
Blue dust.
Blue dust. And then the lettering and the trim around the windows and doors will be
raised
cranberry. So Same way here, this will be a blue, and then the chair will be... So this one is total cost $7,290, 75% is $5,400 plus. The next item is on 1882 Northeast 2nd Street. It's the Konami property. They applied for a grant and got approved, must have been at least 2 years ago, to redo this building here. The grant expired and I told them they could reapply, but they just went ahead and did the work. So, the building looks very nice. I wish I had a more complete picture of it, but anyways, my team and I went out there and looked. What they want to do is get rid of this rather unattractive fence in between their two buildings. Their main building is here, and then there's also a building here. This will be replaced with a privacy white vinyl fence. And this is the north side of this building. This old wooden fence will also be replaced with a vinyl fence. I guess the cost is very similar to the one. It has $7,290. But that's, those numbers must have gotten mixed up. But it'll be the grant will be approximately $5,500 for this one.
So they have two grants coming for that?
No, it's just one grant for the fence. The grant will be about $5,500. Was that your question, or?
Well, that's for both fences, the one.
Yeah, both fences. So that's the four grants.
Did they get two estimates from two different companies, or how do I see it?
No, actually, we're still waiting on them, so whichever one's the lowest,
okay,
that's the one we go with. So, if it turns out that it's higher, well, we go up a little bit, but it's overall, no matter what the overall work cost, the maximum is $10,000. So,
right.
It has to be no more than 75%. So.
So they're just doing the front, or are they going down the side too, you think?
The one I remember is this piece here.
Uh-huh.
And then this on the west side, I don't believe there was anything else that we saw there.
Are they actually trying to get another bid, or are they...
Well, like you said, it looks like they're doing some chain link fence with an electric gate on one bid. And that must, I mean, that may be for their top, or their property on the left. We might want to get some clarity on this before we approve this. Because I was there too, and all they talked about was the white line fence in the front.
I can't think.
218 feet.
Is one that really, really would be in a hurry to do anything, because they had a grant approved, and it was approved for approximately 2 years, and they never used it.
Right. Then they went ahead and did the work.
So if you,
with the board, if you want to wait, then... Let's get their second bid and look at it. Maybe we can go back out there and clarify.
All right.
Because it's a little confusing with all the lineal footage.
Right.
It's way too high, and then they got chain link and gate openers. And one's 218 feet of 6-foot rail tunnel groove. Fine. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
If everybody agrees to that.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to accept the West Florida agreement.
Have a motion.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Creed is through.
Okay, next item is our redevelopment plan update. Last meeting in February, we went through the goals, objectives, and strategies. We made the corrections that you had. This week we passed out some additional material. So what we have, I'll just go through this. We had the goals, objectives, strategies last time, and then from those we developed a list of projects and programs, which was that one page sheet we sent out, and then we tried to put all the projects and programs on what we call development strategies map, which is a large legislative map yet in front of you. Before we get into that, I'll go through the approval process. We have to follow what's in the statutes, which is a long process, unfortunately. So today, we'll review the rest of the plan documents we have, and we can make a recommendation to the CRA agency board. We'll take it to the board on May 6th. If they approve it, it gets transmitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission, who looks at it for consistency with the comprehensive plan. So they would hopefully be able to look at it for June 10th meeting. So after they get done with it for consistency, if there's any changes of any type, we'll come back to this advisory committee at your June meeting. With the final plan, and then once you approve the final plan, it goes to the CRA agency board, and they transmit to the city council for a public hearing. It also goes to the board of county commissioners for their comments. So, for project goes well, it should be finalized sometime in August, but it would come back to you after June meeting. So right now, you just send it out to the agency, and they'll get a P&Z for review. So we set out revised goals, objectives, and strategies. We made changes to strategy 2.1.2 about being more specific on how we're going to address this flooding issue on Magnolia. So basically, we will request, the CRA will request the engineering office to do a study of the FEMA map. If there's any cost to it, the CRA funds can be used to prepare the study and whatever else needs to be done. We also changed strategy 3.2.1 about 8th Avenue and intersection studies at 8th Avenue and 14th Street. As I was reading through this, I thought 3.1.2, where we said network of safe, attractive sidewalks and bikeways, we'd also include linear park trails, like we were thinking about in the North Mag area there on the First Avenue side on the property that is in back of the commercial property that fronts on Magnolia. And you had some other corrections in the finding section. We made those also. Is there any questions on these goals, objectives, and strategies? I did, at our meeting, I did meet with Mike and Tony separately since they weren't able to be at our February 28th meeting.
When you say we as the CRA board would recommend the city of Ocala do a study about the flood zones, is that something that I should remove myself from as far as being a property owner? And I actually have two properties in that flood zone.
No, it's a...
Is it something we need to formally vote on, or just...
Well, here's the thing.
You're voting on the plan
as well.
Okay.
So it's a... We're just asking them to study it so we can mitigate the...
Okay.
We can't spend any money. So.
No. Okay. Just checking.
Is it time for comments?
Yes, sir.
I have read this thing word for word. And I got to tell you, because you don't remember, you wasn't here when it happened. The last time we made a staff at having this thing done, staff had a lady that was working here, and we just didn't gel. We just didn't. She wanted people from professors from the college to sit on our board. And a doctor's wife. And nobody would ever come to the meetings. And we keep telling her, we know our neighborhood. We don't need those people to come and tell us what we need to do. And I gotta tell you, this is refreshing. This is wonderful. That lady that you found, that you knew about, that came and facilitated this, and I mean to tell you, when I read it, it was like I was there. I mean,
you were there.
I believe how our thoughts have been transposed into something like this. And I'll tell you, I'm excited about using this, making this available to realtors and to others that will help us to properly build our neighborhood. But I got to tell you, all in all, and there's some good things in here, but the reduction of 20-25% in traffic along the Miracle Mile North Magnolia is probably the most damaging thing that could keep us from really, really building our neighborhood. And we somehow, as a group, we have to find a way to convince the city staff and the CRA board and the city council that they have to give us entrance from Highway 40. It has to happen if you want to have success here. And if we don't get that traffic flow up, all of this is for naught.
I think we should really pursue the left turn lane on Magnolia, making it two-way. We fought for First Avenue, and they've got every reason in the world not to put it there, and they're probably right with all their...
Well, with this hotel, it's never going to work.
It's not going to work, but we can make it work on Magnolia with two-lane, with two-way street.
I'd like some suggestions from all of you all. How can we...
Like I said at the last meeting, everybody in the city wants that left turn. It's just the DOT that funded it, so...
Have they pursued the left turn onto Magnolia?
I don't think we should care who funds it. I don't think that's an issue. I think we ought to do it and send them a bill for it. Honestly,
that's a possibility.
I don't see where it's going to cost that much to put a turn lane on Magnolia, because you got a green space there already.
Oh, well...
And really, as I looked at it, when you're going west on past the square, and you have a nice turn lane on, I guess that's First, Southwest First. If we had to sacrifice that to get the, you know, to have a nice turn lane for Magnolia coming east, I would think that would be a small price to pay to get something that we need so badly. And anybody wanting to turn left on First, just go down to Second, I guess it is, turn, you can come right back around the block, you know.
Well, DOT people come to the TPO meetings, so that would be a good meeting for you all to attend. There's a technical committee, there's a citizens committee, and then there's a TPO board made up of city council and board of county commissioners.
Well, we've talked for it for 20 years. I mean, it's not like some whim.
We're missing the piece of the pie that has to happen. And we got to recognize that. And collectively, we got to do what we got to do. So if we're going to have success,
right,
if we don't have traffic, if we don't have people in the neighborhood, then businesses are not going to survive. We're not going to be able to convince people to come and do the kind of things that we have in this redevelopment plan. And it's just that serious, the way I see it.
Well, if we start putting in development and destinations for people to go to, that'll increase the traffic. They need somewhere to go to. So,
you can't look at Pine Street. You're never going to get anything. All you've got is 8, and you're getting too close to 10. You will never be able to get another entrance from the west off of Pine Street.
Right.
You'll never be able to get anything off of 8th Avenue. You've got a wonderful entrance at 10th into South Magnolia and to North Magnolia. But you're blocked where all the traffic is. And you're just... I mean, I just think things... Let me tell you, people at the villages... If they can find a way to get an interchange off of I-75 in short order, there's got to be a way that we can get a turn lane off of Highway 4. There's just got to... We haven't found the key that opens the door.
I think he may have hit the nail on the head. We need to go to the TPO meeting and and plant that seed on Magnolia. They've got Magnolia torn up right now. When they resurface it and restripe it, they can easily make that two-way. That, you know, the two one-ways that are by the post office for years and years and years and years and years and years are now two-way. They should have been two-way all along.
Right.
Every time I turn, my GPS says, you're going the wrong way. How did I know? I've been doing this for 40 years.
Well, getting a left turn lane on from 40 to go north is a TPO DOT issue.
It has to be.
Changing the traffic flow on Magnolia is a city engineer's issue.
Okay.
Well, if
I think we all are in agreement that this is a high priority item, and we ought to do whatever's necessary to meet with the engineers and tell them our thoughts along that, and then go to that TPO meeting and make it known and go with
them. Because I still don't maybe consider a member of the Citizens Advisory Council for the TPO. You meet some months. Mike is now the one that's assigned that task.
Mike Daniels is no longer the director of TPO.
Really?
Okay. They don't have a...
We're in the hiring process.
We're in the hiring process.
Okay. See, I've been very inactive. And now why? Because I wanted to get one. They have one. They have somebody from DeLand. That's where the State Road Department is headquartered for our district. And they come over, and those people work. They work out 18 months or 2 years, and then they have periods of time when they update the program. And you get lost in the battle. And you've got somebody sitting there who's not a decision maker. She can't tell you, or he can't tell you. All they do is listen. And then they go and meet with this consortium of county commissioners, people from Dunellen. I don't know who else has one, but
yeah.
You're not going to get, in my opinion, what we have to do is find a way to get an appointment in DeLand and talk to a decision maker.
Well, you should also get an appointment with your state legislature.
I was going to say, would that be? That would probably be.
You've been going through this route for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we invite one of them or two of them to one of our meetings here?
So well, it's probably be better, them. But they're scheduled to go see them instead of them come see us.
My only concern is if we go as CRA advisory board members, we have some...
You're going as affected business people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, but as long as we...
And green. The more you bring, the better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the downtown people, Ted Schott, mm-hmm. Same predicament as you. Can't understand.
Yeah.
Why it hasn't happened. So.
But this is good. This is great. And I'm going to try and have some copies of this made and make them available to people. But, you know, we've talked in the past, and we have a difficult time. We work all the time.
But well, we can put it in our next newsletter.
We can make some of these and have them available so that our people understand what we do and what's been done. And
well, you know, in order for us to develop property on Magnolia, we got to get over the hurdle. You know, the flood zone is a big hurdle. And you know, we're making strides to work on that. Getting a turn lane, getting the traffic up is a big hurdle. And then the people will develop, because there's a lot of vacant properties and vacant buildings on Magnolia that are prime. I mean, I couldn't believe it all. I was reading in the paper today about development. You know, I knew all the gas stations were being built, the hotels being built, there's property here. You know, I mean, they listed a multitude of projects, you know, that are going on, and there's no reason that we shouldn't be as active on North Magnolia as they are everywhere else in the city.
People need to know about us. They right. need to know about what we've done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you, it's not one shoe is not going to fit every foot, but there's enough that would fit that could come our way if they knew. But I really, really think that the access from the south is terrible. And yes, Ted Schott, he's probably, I haven't talked to Ted in a while, but the last time I spoke with him, he, because I told him, I said, we tried. We need some younger people.
I think our legislators are the way to go. We tried other options. Let's try that. Let's make some phone calls and go see them. Exactly. We know about
it. I didn't know what the heck is that about. I didn't know the inspiration.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Proof. So, do you have any other questions on the goals or project list or the map?
I got a comment about the residential area. It's pretty obvious that in Imagine Magnolia, in the map that I have here, it's shown in yellow. R1A, I guess it is. How does the board think we ought to handle this? Where do you want to go? Residential. Well,
there's
this other area.
What is the title of that map you're looking at?
This is North Magnolia Current Zoning.
Yeah. So, we're working through Imagine Magnolia Master Plan. So, you'll decide that issue then.
That was a future project.
It won't be decided by this plan. It'll be decided by...
Well, that's fine. Well, I'm speaking to that issue because, I mean, this is thoughts that have come out of this, is that are we going to try and, I mean, board, are we going to suggest that staff rezones more, or I don't remember.
I can tell you what I think. My personal opinion is if you looked at the owner-occupied properties in there, they're going down, down, down every year. Attrition or whatever is taking their toll. You're going to have to look at rental properties. You're just not going to, there's just not going to be owner-occupied properties in that neighborhood. They're not, the people that are in there won't out.
There's 18 acres, which is 6% of Imagine Magnolia, that is already zoned R1A. And if I read it correctly, and I think that I did, at some point in the future, that we can extend, we can create some grants for these people that have residences within this R1A so that they will improve their properties.
Right.
Didn't you mention some things about some grants available?
Yes, for Brownfield assessment.
No, but...
That's not residential.
No.
Maybe the SHIP program.
The SHIP and home funds and right, CDBG. Okay. Yeah.
So there is a lot of city and county programs for housing, new construction, and rehab. So
I do a tremendous amount of work for property managers, and that's the bulk of the residential work that we do. And they can be duplexes, quads, or just single-family homes, or apartment complexes. But basically, they're built simple. You know, they're nothing fancy. They're for working-class people, especially the people that may work and live in the neighborhood. And if somebody bought a block of property that had 15 or 20 R1A zoned lots, they built 15 small, you know, basic homes to rent, or somebody could put an apartment complex. But like I say, it's just a trend. It's just the trend that's going on. I have two relatives that are realtors, and you know, they say the same thing. It's just a trend. people are.
Well, of course, imagine North Mag, you know, we're going through the comments we got at our community meeting, and we'll put something together and hopefully have another community meeting at the end of April and get more direction. Just keep moving forward.
I personally think that was a good meeting.
That was a good meeting.
Well attended.
Oh, yeah, there were several people in there who were disillusioned, I think, went out of there with the facts.
Our North Mag people, they have always had enough interest in their community that they, we don't have to. All you gotta do is open the door. There'll be some of them coming. Thank you, Ken, for allowing us to use it. It is a perfect place. Really, really is. Well, anyway, those are just remarks that I see. I think in the future, next year, I think we really need to make some decisions about this area that's a little pocket right inside Imagine Magnolia, and let's see if, look around and see what your thoughts are. Are there houses in there you think are worthy of grants? Are some of them, do they need to just be destroyed?
Well, the guy next door to me, and this is typical of his rentals, because he's got like 40 or 50. I know him personally. And he put a lot more money in this house than I thought he should, but hey, it turned out to be. And, he stuccoed all the, it's just our framed house, you know, and he put a new roof, stuccoed it, and completely remodeled the inside, and it turned out nice, but I'm not sure whether it was worth that much money, yeah. You know, as opposed to starting over. Mine's a block house, so, you know, it's kind of bulletproof. You could do a lot with it. You know.
So do you want to take action on the plan and we can send it forward?
Sounds good to me.
Gerald, be more than glad to receive the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second what? Adopt the grant. Adopt it, we send it to our CRA board. Mm-hmm. What you want to Okay, we have a motion to approve this to be forwarded to the CRA board for their approval to the steps that need to go to the zoning and county commission. I'll never be able to, you know, when we first started this, we slipped one by Marion County. They weren't expecting it. But I'm sure they're going to be expecting this.
Yeah, after that, they get going to read your packet before the meeting.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
A second.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Lisa, you got anything on Brownville you want to say? Or?
I'm happy to report we got two applications for assessments from the Imagine North Mag meeting. And there will be another one coming up in April as far as another application going before the Brownfield Advisory Committee. Both of the applications that we received from the Imagine North Mag meeting were approved at the last Brownfield Advisory Committee meeting.
Great.
And Doug, I apologize for not identifying the correct grant program for the houses you mentioned. Those are often income qualified, and the person has to have lived there X number of years, and it's kind of complicated, but it's a very good program.
Good, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
Next meeting, I'd like to. I know we're at budget point, or the budget should have already have probably gone to council, has it?
No, but they're developing.
She's working on it right now, which is why she's not here.
With the next meeting, it would be nice to be able to review what's been spent and what we project to spend, you know, kind of like we've always done. It would be nice that we haven't had that. I have our budget for the year, but not where we are.
Did you give them the large sheet?
Yeah, it's the last page.
Yeah,
yes.
That's just the revenue.
That's just the revenue, yeah.
I have one more thing. unless nobody else has any news. So I was thinking we need to have all our members' positions filled, so I'm going to recommend to the board that Valerie be removed, and you guys have another person that you would like to have on the board to replace her.
We're fine. I really thought that it was being taken care of. I thought there was a way that...
Well, yeah, we do, but we need...
Did we receive a letter about the North Magnolia Merchants Association? Did Tony secure that to remove Valerie? Because they were talking about getting a letter, resignation letter.
She needs to submit to us something in writing, a simple sentence in an email that I resign. When she had stopped attending meetings, I had, and you know, found out funding wasn't available for her, and she wasn't coming. In an email, I tried to politely suggest to her that, you know, since funding has stopped, according to state statute and everything, and if you're not going to be attending, if you could just let me know you resigned, just email me back and say you resigned, then we can press it. And she never, ever responded. And if we could, then we wouldn't have to go through this process that we've looked up and researched for the city clerk's office to have her appointment terminated, go to city council and everything. If she would simply give me something stating she resigns, okay, it would be so much easier.
Give me a couple of weeks. I'll get it.
Yes. And we can look for a replacement board. I'll see if Frank is still interested. He would make a good...
We are looking... We know that we're going to have people that are going to be moving through our board, so we're continuing to look for people that have interest. I mean, really, hands-on interest in our neighborhood.
I did too. I thought it was done.
I thought
that. That got surprised when you keep calling her name because I thought it was done.
No, it's fine.
Valerie is a very talented individual. She does not understand, and I'm going to explain that. I want this letter. Resignation, because I want you to be held in high esteem with staff, because she does have some real talents and could be used in other places if she would just be around people. And I don't want to spoil, because she don't understand. She just doesn't understand this. But I'll make sure she understands.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you again for all you are doing for us. We very appreciate it. Okay, we should accept the move.
I'll make the motion.
Irving would say it's time to stop following this Valerie. You want me to explain what that means?
Is there more? I got some work I need you to do.
Okay.
Maybe.
Before you